Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Or you can talk to my friend right across the table, Dr. Kasia Patel, who knows all about Piedmont Medical Center. So today, Dr. Patel's back with us, and if you've not heard this guy talk, you really have missed a treat. And I would suggest you go back to WRHI.com and pull up some of the old other programs we've done with Dr. Patel. He's an amazing person. Accomplished with his cancer skills and what have you, but he's a man devoted to humanity, trying to make humanity better.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about that a bit today, but I'm going to let you give some introduction about your background, because it's quite a background.
Sure, Manning. It's been a pleasure to be back with you in this same place. I think the first time I came and talked to you was back in 2002 when I moved to this area, and we both are still here on our feet. So I'm an oncologist, a cancer doctor, treating cancer patients for almost like 30 years now. And this is my home away from home. I've enjoyed being here. So I've led several organizations part of my career over the last 25 years, beginning from treating patients in my clinic to South Carolina State Oncology Society as a president, and then to the national association called Community Oncology Alliance. And going back to Manning's point is I see my role not only treating a disease, but treat a human being as an ecosystem. So I learned hard way that unless and until we get involved in the process of change by understanding the policy, by understanding the problems outside prescribing medications, then we can make a difference. So you can Google me. Actually, you know, there may be about over 100 plus Google hits on that. And fortunately, everything is probably decent. And you can look up more on my website, kashyappatel.com, to see what I'm doing. I'm a holistic medicine certified oncologist who helps people not only fight cancer, but also to fight the stress, anxiety, and any other issues associated with cancer.
And there is quite a, because of what you've been involved with, you've had an opportunity to rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the world. Is that not true?
Absolutely, yeah. So I've been able to rub elbows with the presidents of the United States. I've shared stage with U.S. presidents. I've actually traveled across the world, and I've met Senate majority leaders, congressional leaders, and also, you know, the world leaders in cancer space. And it all was primarily because I felt that in order for me to make a change in the way we treat people with cancer, we need to help the individuals in the highest offices to understand what needs to be done to change the better access to the care.
All right, which leads us right into the topic, which is, how can we do a better job, particularly helping the indigent, those who have virtually no access to health care? And through your studies, you have found that that lack of access to health care eventually leads to a higher rate of cancer.
Absolutely. So let's begin by saying that cancer detection, prevention, early intervention, these are all the missing links in part of the country where access to care is met with barriers. It could be financial barrier, could be literacy barrier, could be education barrier. And recently we've started studying what we call the social determinants of health, or what we call health related social needs. So it's one part that a person needs medication for controlling their blood pressure. But if they don't have a transportation to go to doctor's office for timely appointment, or if they don't have money for a child care to look after a child at home, they could become barrier to access to care. So when we look at the barrier to access to care, it's not just lack of insurance. Patients with insurance may have inadequate insurance. Patients with insurance may have very high out-of-pocket cost. Patients with insurance may not have some childcare at home. So all of this make what we call the health-related unmet social needs. And I was shocked and surprised to find that in our clinic, we've collected data on about 5,000 patients, and 30% of them, 1,500 plus patients, have had one of these issues that we never can fathom in a day-to-day operation. And I want to go back to our first meeting after the COVID-19. You know, I got so enthusiastic about finding the social determinants of health. In my first week, we found 3 patients were living in a car.
No.
I had no idea how to deal with that. And the same week, I was on the radio interview with you, Manning, if you remember, and you smiled because you said you have access to homeless shelters. So we are within half a mile distance, and I had no idea that you do such a wonderful operation here through Pathways that I was able to help those patients.
Well, in fact, that particular incident has evolved into a very strong relationship between Pathways and Dr. Patel and his practice, which we could spend 2 hours talking about. But it's like a symbiotic relationship whereby people who need help, we can send up to Dr. Patel's office and vice versa. People who come into your office who have got nowhere, you send them down to Pathways.
Absolutely. So we have a rule, Manning, and I can tell you, even as a businessman, that in 23 years, we've never turned anyone away from our clinic, whether they can pay or not. We've looked after their social needs. And today, despite of all the financial challenges, we are the only truly independent practice left in South Carolina State as an oncology, and the one of the few practices left in our counties that includes other specialties like, you know, cardiology, neurology, other specialties. So I feel that a good karma of looking after everyone who walks through the door has allowed us to be able to sustain our model of care delivery. I call the healthcare ecosystem for better care delivery.
Now, people are probably scratching their heads. How is he able to do this? Which leads us to the other part of the story, which is fascinating. How you were able to get pharmaceutical companies to understand the issues as you presented them to you, to them, and they were able to fund a foundation that you've put together that takes care of this shortfall when people who can't afford it come in for treatment.
Absolutely. So understanding the lack of resources, beginning from lack of access to financial resources to everything, we started a foundation called No One Left Alone. And you can Google this, noleftalone.org. And I put my own money as a kind of a starter. So my rule is every year I turn one more year, I multiply my age by 1,000 and put that money into the foundation. So these are, it's about $64,000 I'll put in the foundation. And I really want to smile because, you know, people say, how do you do that? I said, listen, when I leave this world, my wife loves me to death, but she'll not tie any green bills behind my dead body. So I would rather put it to good use in this lifetime. But the foundation then started showing that we are able to care for more people in the financial challenges. And so pharmaceutical companies, even state government, started giving us economic support. And now we are able to sustain this foundation for the next 3 to 5 years. And I believe that if we continue to work this way, this foundation will outlive our lifetime as well. In fact, I was with Bob McCleave, our attorney, who helps us in all the compliance work. And he said, Dr. Patel, looks like this foundation will outlive both of us.
Isn't that interesting? So it causes you to wonder, could that model, pardon me, could that model be replicated on a larger scale to address this healthcare issue with the indigent? Because your studies have shown, again, if you don't have access to healthcare, the chances of you getting cancer or more serious diseases just goes up.
Absolutely. So let me give you some raw numbers. There's something called cancer health disparities, and studies have shown that disparity resulting from whether social cause or economic cause results in 34% preventable deaths from cancer. That means 1 in 3 cancer deaths in U.S., remember, is preventable if you didn't have disparity. And so our model shows that all solutions are local. I work proactively with my local peers. I work proactively with different foundations and state government. And if I can do that, small 5-doc practice, now total 10 providers, if we can do that, anybody else can do that. All you have to do is to learn how to create a not-for-profit foundation, get 501c status, and then show that you have an intention of helping people to remove preventable causes of mortality.
But the key thing that's missing here,
yes,
as you just pointed out, you are still the only locally owned, locally operated,
absolutely,
medical practice in oncology in,
yes,
the state of South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
All right. So when you look at where healthcare is in this country right now,
uh-huh,
most medical practices are owned by large conglomerates.
Or healthcare systems.
A healthcare system, same thing. And I don't think their mindset is the same as your mindset is.
Yeah, so I think there's a for-profit entity. Even we are for-profit, but we, being a small entity, we can control our philanthropic arm very easily. Studies have shown over and over again that the cost of care is anywhere between 3 to 5 times higher in a large health system. Same drug that costs $100 at my clinic, if patient ends up in going to large healthcare system within our neighborhoods, their insurance may end up in paying $300 to $600. And if patient's out-of-pocket cost is 20%, the patient will pay much higher cost out-of-pocket as well. And all of this become barrier to care, because if a patient has made a provision of saving $2,000 for the extra excess cost, but if they end up in going to large health system, they may have $6,000 out-of-pocket cost. So there are many complicated factors that create the barriers to access to care. If I change my clinic's tax ID to something, a large conglomerate's tax ID, why should a shirt that I wear should cost 3 times more?
Very good question. Very good question. And I'm sure you would think that the economies of scale, being a larger operation, you'd be able to do things cheaper.
Right, exactly. Absolutely, yeah.
But when you have a 10-person practice or a 15-person practice, whatever it is,
mm-hmm,
versus a large, large thousands and thousands and thousands of people,
yes,
I get it.
And, you know, when you look into the publications, the mainstream media, like look at the Wall Street Journal, look at the Washington Post, look at the New York Times, they all have published that the large institutions, without naming any of them, actually result in wealthening, making the senior administrators a lot more wealthier, and poor patients get either sued, or they end up in losing their credit, or their salaries garnished.
All right, so if I were to make you a president of the United States, and you had total authority to fix the healthcare system, how would you go about this?
So we have lots of avenues of streamlining health system. For example, preventable hospitalization. If a patient calls our office between 9 to 5, we have a rule that don't even wait, just show up at the door, because we want to see if there is something that we can treat you right away so that you don't end up in the hospital. Multiple studies have shown that we spend about close to $1.5 trillion in hospitalization in the U.S., and about 30% is a preventable. So just right off the bat, we can save $500 billion every year by simply providing better access to patients. But the reason why it does not happen is most of the urgent care centers are taken over by the health system. So if a patient goes to urgent care center at 5:30 p.m., by default they are sent over to the hospital ER and they'll be hospitalized. So the system has created, I would say, feeding channels that sucks patients in the health systems or hospital, even when it may be marginal call. We were part of one of the big Medicare study and initiative where we showed that we reduced the hospitalization by 30% in our patient population, and that reduced 30% cost by just providing access between 8:30 to 5 during weekdays and 8 to 11 on the weekends.
That simple. So one of the things that we probably need to have is more clinics, simple walk-in clinics.
Exactly.
Without all the high-tech stuff.
Simple walk-in clinics where a patient goes, get the blood checked, and maybe they can go 5 days for IV antibiotics. If someone has walking pneumonia, you don't have to hospitalize them. Just check the blood, do the X-ray or scan, and then bring them every day for 30 minutes infusion. Think about the human part of that. If a person who works at a small grocery store ends up in a hospital for 5 days, then they lose 5 days of salary.
Yeah.
Their loved ones will lose 5 days of being with them. And that will cost so much money to the health, to the, our payer system. So I would say that better access to open urgent care clinic, walk-in clinics is easiest, lowest hanging fruit for the patients to have reduced cost and system as well.
And you would think that the large healthcare systems would jump on that idea because their emergency rooms are just overrun with people and with nursing shortages nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't keep all the rooms open because they don't have enough nurses. So why not try to divert the crowd in another direction?
But it's a contrarian view, because then they may not monetize that. So the cost of treating a patient with IV antibiotic over 5 days may be about $400 versus income from patients staying in for 5 days could be close to $30,000-$40,000.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. All right, we're going to have to take our mid-program break, and we will continue this discussion here on Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, the good doctor remembers what we do here. We talk about Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We're going to say the white letters together at the count of three. Tell everybody out there why they should be inside here having a fresh supper salad. All right, at the count of three, let's do it. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry, because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
We know the type. You like to start early, finish late, make lemon squares, and make payments to the college fund from anywhere in the house. We know you rely on Comporium for the things you rely on most, like a view of the backyard. That's just a bunny, and hundreds of channels to watch, whenever you want. So you may think of us as just your internet company, but we're more like the I didn't know they could do all that company. Comporium, always ready.
The Piedmont Medical Center Women's Tower at our Rock Hill campus boasts fully furnished labor and delivery rooms and family care suites. Our Level 3 NICU is equipped to provide advanced medical treatments for premature infants and infants who may have complications. Inside the Women's Tower, families begin bonding with their special deliveries in private family care suites, allowing mom and baby to relax with ease. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very interesting conversation, as always, with noted oncologist Dr. Kasia Patel. We're not talking about oncology, we're just talking about healthcare.
Absolutely.
And the way the system works and why the system is not working as well as it could. So, with all this being said, there are some solutions out there. I mean, you mentioned a simple solution here.
Yes.
If we just had more clinics open, more hours of the day, we could take care of these basic health care needs that a lot of sick people have.
Well, absolutely. So what we've lost in the U.S. healthcare system is the building up an ecosystem. So when we look into a patient going for unnecessary hospitalization, that person is losing their days. Their employer may not be able to work with them. It's going to cost several thousand dollars more. If we, on the contrary, take the European model, I'm not talking about the universal healthcare.
Right.
Access to primary care physicians and specialists locally, as and when it's needed, we could have a walk-in clinic, walk-in infusion center, a walk-in urgent care, and a walk-in radiology, which is, in general, about one-fifth of the cost of what it costs in the hospital.
Oh.
So between a preventable hospitalization and the access to more walk-in centers, there's a potential of saving between $500 billion to $1 trillion in our healthcare system that can fund every indigent patient in the country.
So you've obviously told this to more people than my audience here on Straight Talk. But those people who can make things like that happen, are they listening to you at all?
So we've been able to design some model. For example, we have a model with the Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they have opened that model for others, but many doctors are not putting an effort to walk an extra mile. I think it's, we all have to bring what we call collaborative, cooperative, and cohesive solution, where everybody comes on the same page. At the end of the day, we are dealing with a human being, person with family, children, wife, work. And if we build a safe ecosystem where the hospitals have their own place, I mean, they save lives. I thank my colleagues in the emergency room, cardiologists, you know, neurologists, they save the lives. But at the same time, half of the work that's being done in a hospital at between 3 to 5 times cost can be easily done with a lot less resource-intensive situation.
I think what you're saying, there's a place for hospitals, definitely a place for hospitals.
Absolutely.
And there's a place for clinics.
Exactly.
The question is, we don't have enough of the clinics set up.
And you know, when I came to Rock Hill in 2002,
yeah,
there was not a single hospital-owned clinic in Rock Hill. And there was not a single hospital-owned oncology practice. And today, we are the only independent oncology practice left in the South Carolina state. And we are the only independent practice of our size that's not owned by a private equity group. So look at the change in 22 years.
Yeah.
And outcome has not changed by clinics owned by hospital. It just costed a whole lot more.
And when you talk about costing a whole lot more.
Yes, sir.
We hear all the time that medical care in the United States compared to medical care in other countries is multiples, I mean, 3, 4, 5 times more.
Yes, sir.
Here. Now, granted, we have better health care than anybody in the world.
Yes.
We've got, you know.
Absolutely.
You don't have to wait in line to get.
No.
Get it when you need it.
Yeah.
And there's a cost for that. I got that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's driving 4 or 5 times more cost here versus somewhere else?
I think we'll do a whole show on this one. But coming back to, I'm very much interested in population health studies across the world. And what I've observed is that when you look at the report from the OECD countries, Commonwealth report, we spend 3 to 4 times more compared to most of the developed countries in the world, which are the European countries. And we live about 6 to 8 years less than most of the developed countries in the world.
Say that again.
6 to 8 years less compared to most of the developed countries in the world.
And yet we have the best health care in the world.
And the reason is because the competitive environment in the U.S., the stress, the insecurities, stress triggers changes in the body, which leads to inflammation. Inflammation leads to much higher risk of heart attack, stroke, obesity, kidney disease, and cancer. People don't even realize that there's a link between the stress, inflammation, and cancer. So despite being the best health system in the world, we are not putting enough resources in addressing the stress, which is the key to reduce the downstream consequences of our broken, compartmentalized, siloed lifestyle.
Well, that would take 5 or 6 shows to do when you talk about stress. I mean, we live in a society which is go, 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 go.
Yes, exactly.
Produce more, 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 more.
Yes.
You know, return more money to the shareholders, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So the only solution I have for stress,
yes,
is go to the gym every day.
I think that's an excellent
idea. And spend a half an hour there doing whatever you want to do just to get the stuff out of your system. Or put your tennis shoes on and commit yourself to taking a mile walk or 2 mile walk. Do something.
No, absolutely. I think that brings endorphins when you do exercise. So you are actually able to counter-effect some of the stress impact. At the same time, teaching some simple mindfulness technique, living in the moment. We always live tomorrow or yesterday. We don't live right here, right now. So if you live in what we call the non-judgmental, kind witnessing mode, where I'm here enjoying with my friend, looking at his smile, that's the stress-relieving mechanism.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you keep raising these big, big issues, and we can't find. So now we've got about a minute or so left in the program. What is it that you want to try to accomplish before you move on to your maker?
Okay, so I want to start creating a training program for what we call mindfulness-based stress reduction technique. Teach people bringing joy back to the life, resurge, reemerge, rejuvenate, and enjoy the life.
Well, I bet you've already got this scoped out, don't you?
So scoped out. I'm going to send you a presentation on that.
I can think of a few people who will be willing to go through that program and be guinea pigs to see if it works.
I would love to do
that.
Yeah,
all right. His name is Dr. Kasha Patel. Again, you can find out more about this wonderful guy. He has his own website at kashapatel.com. By the way, he's also a very accomplished photographer. I mean, he has got some pictures of the beautiful animals that roam this earth. I mean, it's a spectacular array that you've done. Good job. Good job. So that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. We'll get him back here again.
Of course.
He's got plenty to talk about, plenty. And that's going to wrap up our show today, live from Substation 2. Barry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Also want to tell you that Noel Fuller is having a book signing this coming Saturday from 11 to 1 at the Shepherd's Fold for his Miracle Can Be Yours. That's right, Miracles Can Be Yours. We had him on Straight Talk back in December. Book signing this Saturday at Shepherd's Fold. All right, here at Substation 2, besides make good salads, good sandwiches, fresh before your eyes, how we do it. Are you ready, Tommy? All right, 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden.
All right, have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.